Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we just ask for your grace, Father, that you would help to instruct. We don't want to be people who just puffed up with knowledge, Lord. We don't want to be those who just hear your word. We want to be people who act on it, who take it to heart and make a change in our lives, Lord. We don't just want to be outwardly religious and not have any real change in what we're doing. We don't want to be hypocrites, Lord, in what we do. We want to have your spirit lead us to walking in your ways in all that we do so that we can glorify your name. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Okay, well, we've been walking through the different aspects of marriage and betrothal and dating and issues related to that because so many people were asking for it. And so we want to continue in that. Today what we want to do is just walk through some scriptures that speak to the subject. And we've already walked through some already. We looked at Malachi, where God desires a godly seed. We looked at Hebrews 13 that says marriage is honorable in all and bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is God's container for people to express themselves in a unity between man and woman. We made it clear that the scripture says marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. It doesn't matter what whatever this country says in a state or a city. They can pass whatever laws they want to. God's word still trumps it, and God says marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, it's the oxymoron. People once ask the question of saying, what about same-sex marriages? And I just freeze because I can't put the two together. Marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And it's unbelievable. I would have never thought that I would have saw this in our country, that we could actually consider that such a thing could be voted into law. It is amazing that people can be that far gone. But we're living in some very interesting times. So turn over to 2 Corinthians. As you're doing that, remember also, marriage is God's idea. Now, man may have different ways to bring that marriage about and different rituals and practices and that sort of thing, but bottom line is that marriage is God's idea. It's not an institution that man came up with. It's something God established from the beginning. So that's one of the other points. So 2 Corinthians 6 chapter. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Messiah with Belial? Of what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Of what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. So a lot of the unmarried people want to know, well, what are some of the rules about looking for a spouse? What are some of the principles I should follow? Well, this is one of them, that you should not seek after to marry somebody that's not a believer. It's a very practical thing. And that's what God is. God's wisdom to you. It's God's insight to you. You love the Lord, and God says, okay, look, rule number one, don't marry somebody that's not a believer. Don't do it. So if you're in any kind of relationship with somebody that's not a believer, a follower of Yeshua, a disciple of Yeshua, literally, I'm just going to say it straight, you need to cut it off. You say, oh, but he's such a nice guy. You don't understand. He treats me so much better than so-called believing guys. He's nice. He's friendly. He's got a good job. He's got money. He's got money. You know, he's well off. You know, I think he'll be a good catch. Well, all those things might be true. But the question is, who are you ultimately going to serve? Who are you going to trust? See, you can't base marriage on those things anyway. You know, the dot-comers were rich on a Friday. Tons of money. Multi-millionaires on a Friday. Yeah. Weekend went through on a Monday, and they were broke. Everything was gone. They went from millionaires to zilch. Nothing. Gone. So what if you married a guy because I'm a dot-comer. I have this little business and I'm a multimillionaire. You're like, he's the guy. He's the one I'm going to marry because I'm going to be set for life. And then Monday comes, and you call him up, and he's like, I have nothing. You know, can I borrow some money for gas? Well, hold on, I thought you were a multimillionaire business guy. Well, yeah, but the stock, if it all fell out, it's gone. Oh, I like him because he has this cute hair. He's got handsome curly hair and everything. That's why I like him. Well, will you like him 15 years when that cute hair is not there anymore? When it's gone. And let's not pick on the ladies because it goes the same way with guys. You know, you're going to get, you don't understand, Pastor Rao. She is one very beautiful, gorgeous lady. She's my dream girl. She's the one man I've been waiting on. Is she a believer? No, she's not a believer. Boy, she's pretty. Really? Yeah, she's nice and thin and just right and everything's great. I remember, and this is not to pick on anybody, but I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl that transferred to our high school who, when she walked down the hallway, guys, you know, you see those commercials when a girl walks through, they've got it all together and everything and too tight clothing and guys are running into glass plates. Well, that's what this girl was like. She would come walking down the hall. You could literally be on one end of the hall, and you could see guys crashing into lockers, falling over. I mean, just crazy stuff. Guy talking to his girlfriend, and all of a sudden his girlfriend's smacking him because he's looking at the other girl going by. And she was that type of girl, and she just drew attention. And every guy in the school was like, oh, man. And she just upset the school. She came in the senior year of my school, and it just upset everybody. I went off to college. We all went off to college, and I came back and about a year and later. I got a part-time job at a restaurant, washing dishes and whatever else they needed me to do because I needed some money for college. And there was a waitress there, and I could see this waitress working there. Lots of waitresses, but there was this one waitress. And every time I looked at her, I said, she looks familiar, but I can't place her. And finally, I realized who it was. It was this girl. She was now just huge, big. Hair was gone and everything. And her whole, and I just went, what happened to you? What's going on? And she had gone through this whole crisis, everything. The guy she got interested in, he dumped her, and just a lot of bad things happened to her. She got involved in drugs and other stuff, and her whole life just fell apart. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, if you married her for just that, well, he didn't stick around. I mean, because of all the, she changed. Marriage has to be something deeper than these things that change. Money can change. Looks can change. These things can change. You need to have a marriage that's built on something that's solid. So, if you are not married and you're looking for a spouse, to marry somebody who's not a believer, first of all, you're going against the will of God. And here's the thing about it, and I said it before, marriage is honorable. And if you disobey God and marry an unbeliever, the marriage is still marriage. And God says, oh, you didn't listen to stage one. Stage two kicks in. You still must perform your role as your wife, as a wife in the marriage, even though you married an unbeliever. And if you're a man, yes, maybe she's not serving God. Well, you still have to fulfill your role as the husband in the marriage, even if she's not a believer. See, some people think, well, I'll just change them. Maybe I'll win them to the Lord as I court them, and they find out that's not the case. So I'm trying to save you some headaches. Don't go there. God says don't do that because marriage is such a union. Now, what if you're there? Well, you know, we've talked about that before, that God can sanctify our marriage because marriage is honorable in his sight. But it causes you to have to walk a new role out. God would rather you to enter into a marriage where you can, from the beginning, pray for that marriage together as one. Not to be fighting with each other over the years and praying that your the one you love turns around and those sort of things. That's just the wisdom of God. So that is a wisdom. No matter wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's God's wisdom to you. That you should not do that. So if you got somebody you've been eyeing, and they're not a believer, my advice to you, according to God's word, is you take a big step back. You say, well, but they're listening to me share the gospel. They're listening to me talk about the Lord. Okay, well, that's good. But, you know, it might be good that if they're really interested, if you're a girl and you got a guy who sounds like he's really interested in the Word of God and he wants to be around you all the time, talk to you, well, find out if it's really true. Turn him over to a guy. Introduce him to a guy. Say, hey, I'd like you to meet Lawrence. And then leave him with Lawrence and walk away to see whether or not he's really interested in God or is he just finding a way to trap you and get you. And the same other way. If you're a guy and there's a girl, she's not a believer, and you're not sure, but she seems nice, she looks nice, she smells good, cleans under her nails, all that good stuff. She's funny, all the things you think are great, but her believing life, you're like, well, she's not a believer, but she seems really interested. She wants to spend a lot of time and talk about the Lord. Quickly, as soon as that, turn her over to a strong woman in the congregation to see if she's really interested in things of God or if she's just interested in you. Because if you don't do that, you can develop a thing. This is not necessarily a word that we find directly in the scripture, but the principle is there, and that is the issue of what people call a soul tie. You say, what in the world is a soul tie? Right? That's what you said, Crystal. What is a soul tie? Well, one good example of a soul tie that's a good example of soul tie is in 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 3, that talks about the bond and relationship between David and Jonathan. That God knitted their hearts together. Two guys, for the sake of the kingdom and the Lord, they became really close friends, and they were knitted together. So let me say their souls, some translations, their souls were knitted together between David and Jonathan. And we know Jonathan was the son of Saul, who didn't particularly care for David. Because David was the one that prophecy was on, that he would rise up and have a great kingdom, and great things was happening through David. And Saul got jealous because people were going around talking about how many David has slung. He had killed a lot more than Saul had. And so there was this you know, jealousy that came in. And of course, we also know that Saul has some other issues that opened up demonic spirits to torment him and other things. But his son really had a heart for God and the things of God that he saw God's hand on him. So it says that when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That's a soul tie. They're committed on a soul level where they're great. That's a good soul tie. Friends should have somebody. You should have at least one person in your life that you feel knitted together as a buddy. If you're a guy, you should have one guy you feel knitted to. That you're just like, this is my buddy, and you know that. And girls, you know, y'all do that so quickly. I mean, y'all form these little cliques like that. You know, we laugh in the congregation about the Yapsons, that we might have to change now to the Yapsoners because we've added additional Roger group to that. So now it's got the Yapsoners is what we're going to have to call them. That they form these cliques, click together, cling, you know, and they all tie together. They're like one little mind, screaming little girls that just, you go like, oh. They see each other, like, and the guys just stand around going, huh? I don't get it. But guys understand soul ties too. You know, you express it different ways. You play a little basketball or something together, and you get close together, and then you learn to pray together, and you develop. That's a good soul tie. But when you are a man, and there's a woman, or there's a woman and there's a man, you must be very careful about knitting your soul to someone else that is not your spouse. And you can very easily do this. This is a vice that you're on the phone, and this guy is interested in the things of the Lord, and maybe he's a believer, and you're just talking to late hours all around, and you're just talking, and people are, y'all like courting or something? No, really, but you're spending lots of hours together, lots of time, just talk. And before you know it, your soul gets knitted together. And you just can't wait to see that person. But here's the rub. But you're not willing to commit yourself to that person. You're not willing to enter into marriage with that person. And so you develop a tie to that person where your commitment to be committed is not there. You know, I don't want to do that, but I'm enjoying the attention. And you can, so it's a dangerous thing. Especially when you are doing it with somebody that's not a believer. you can develop this kind of tie. Married people can do this if they're not careful. I know a guy that's exactly what happened to him. He's married, and he had a friend that was married, and they both were all married, friends and everything. That's cool. And then the guy began to spend a lot of time with this other guy's wife. And he just enjoyed talking to her lots. And they would go out for coffee together, and they would meet together. And then he found reasons to stop by the house when he knew that the husband wouldn't be there. And so he could just chat. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He just wanted to talk. They were friends, and they would talk. And before they knew it, just went on for some time, just chatting and talking and spending hours. Instead of talking to his wife about these things, he wanted to talk to her about these spiritual things. And he spent hours, 2, 3, 4 hours, all his free time. All he could do is think about, I think I'll call her up and talk about this and talk about that. But he felt everything was okay until the day that they both kissed each other. And then both were like shocked. And they didn't even know how they got there. They thought it happened suddenly, but it wasn't. It was all along the way that they developed this emotional tie to each other when they should have realized, oh, we need to pull back. We need to bring our spouses around because this is getting out of order and we're developing a tie. So you have to be careful. You may have all the good intentions in the world of saying, I'm going to win that person to the Lord, and you spend a lot of time with them. Before you know it, your heart is caught up with their heart. You know, the human heart is very interesting how it works sometimes. I mean, even psychiatrists can't figure out that a person could be taken captive by, you know, some group that takes you, kidnaps you, and they're bad people, and they take you, and then you end up, you can't get away from it, and you stay with them, and over a period of time, you suddenly begin to identify to the very people who kidnapped you and feel like you're part. This happens a lot of times with guys who are undercover. That's why they got to be careful. They send a cop in undercover and to go into either some group, a mafia, a gang or something. He's undercover. Nobody knows he's really a police officer. But if he's in there too long and he gets to connect with the lies of people, these are people, these are human souls, and he'll connect to them. Before he knows it, he gets confused. Now I've got to send somebody in to get him out before he gets so caught up, because now he's confused about what his responsibility is anymore. That's what can happen with soul ties when it's used in the wrong way. So you have to be careful about the amount of time you spend with someone, because in the sense of the intimacy of that relationship, and don't fool yourself into thinking you can win somebody, that you're going to court somebody into the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen that way. And even if it does happen that way, you're going to have years of regrets of things you have to turn around. You know, and God is good. He can give you a lot of favor. But I think it's best to do what he says right from the point, from the beginning. All right. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see what it has to say for us. What happened to my clock? Anybody know what a clock is?